Welcome to Talkin' Shit, where we're recapping every episode of Schitt's Creek. I'm Jess Sterling, and unfortunately my horoscope says that I shouldn't assume responsibility for anyone but myself today, so I can't really help out my co-host Stuart. Stuart, how are you?
That's really bad, because I really could do with some help right now. I am going through it this week. I managed to just watch this episode literally 5 minutes before we started recording, so yeah, I need all the help we can get.
Yeah, meanwhile, I think I've seen this episode like four times in a week.
In a week?
Well, here's the thing. Let me explain. So the reason is because I watched it once just to watch it, right? And then I kind of have to watch it again so I could do my notes and everything. And then what happened was my husband was like, oh, I haven't watched the episode yet. Do you want to watch it with me? And I was like, of course. So I've seen it at least three times, probably four, if I'm being honest.
Jeez. So you had to watch it again to get Will's notes at the end, right?
Obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's just all we do here.
Yeah. But as an update on my rewatch, I have one episode left of the series. I'm on the series finale, and I don't know that I'm going to watch it. I might just start over again because I can't like have it be over. You know what I mean? Even though I've seen it.
I love that you're going to start over again. Like, it's not that I'll cut it there and we'll just watch it, you know, as the schedule that we've committed to for the next year plus of just, we'll watch it week on week. No. I'll just start again.
Yeah, I'll just start again.
Slap me twice, why don't you?
Oh, I definitely
will.
It doesn't count
because you've not watched the finale. It's fine.
But anyway, if you're not subscribed already, Talking Shit, Talking without the G, S-C-H-I-T-T. Follow us on all social media at Talking Shit. Of course, we are also on YouTube, Talking Shit. If we're going to have some, again, we always do the tier rankings with a visual. We're going to have a wig to talk about. So if you want to watch our lovely faces, watch us on YouTube. And of course, if you have feedback, either hit us up on social media or email us at podcast@talkingshit.com. That's where you can find us. Stuart, today we're talking about season one, episode three. Don't worry, it's his sister. You had speculated that you're like, oh no, is it Jocelyn? What's going on? Thankfully, it's not that gross, but it's not like that far off, to be honest.
No, I think I was in like, I was going around in the right area. Glad it wasn't Jocelyn. Just going to put that out there. Just going to be very kind of thankful that wasn't the case. But am I surprised it was related to the shit family? No, not in the slightest.
Yeah.
What's going on with that gene pool?
This is one of the, I feel like this moment, the like, don't worry, it's his sister, as well as like the end of like, oh, him adding the extra sign on to the already ridiculous sign. I feel like it's just one of the high watermarks of like the season for me, just because it's such a funny bit. It's so well executed. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's just like everything you could want from this show.
Yeah. I feel like we've really kind of broken the seal when it comes to comedy. Like, this one felt like there were a lot more gags, like a lot more kind of like just little jokes like thrown in just for the sake of it. And the absurdity really has kind of just been cranked up a little bit now. Like, it's almost as if we've gone, this whole scenario is ridiculous. Let's embrace it. And I love it. It was so funny.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Let's do a quick recap at the top, and then we'll get into all the different stuff we have to talk about because we have some new characters introduced this episode, and we have plenty of really silly storylines to go through. So Johnny is very worried when he sees the town sign, which displays Roland's ancestors in very compromising positions. He speaks to the town council about updating the sign, but they're reluctant to make any changes, especially without Roland's approval. Roland fixes the sign by affixing a "Don't worry, it's his sister" sign. Moira has a meltdown after Googling herself. Jocelyn invites her to speak to her class about acting, which Moira agrees to. But things quickly go downhill when Moira's meltdown is on full display in front of the children. David wants fancy eye cream from Paris, so he attempts to get a job in art curating or trend forecasting. But unfortunately, the only open position in town is as a bag boy at the grocery store. And the new job doesn't last super long because Johnny calls David one too many times while he's working. Meanwhile, Alexis can't stop thinking about the bearded stranger she kissed the night before, but is disappointed when she learns that the bearded fellow named Mutt is sleeping with Cafe Tropical waitress Twyla. And that was our episode, Stuart.
Scandal. We're into it already. We've got Scandal. When opens the door shirtless, one thing. I was just like, okay. Then you get the reveal. His name is Mutt, mm-hmm. which is kind of a choice. But then Twyla. And you're like, this is good. This is what small town is all about. I want to know about everyone fucking each other and like stories of who's hooked up with who.
Yeah. It's really funny too, because I love, it's interesting to see Alexis kind of off her game, because she's so used to being like the confident one and the one who gets whatever she wants. And so for her to be like, oh, okay, bye. And then she does that when she walks away, she's like making fun of herself. It's so perfect. I love her asking that. Are you like a poor person or something? Like, why are you taking the compostables away?
Well, like, she just thinks he's getting handouts, which I thought was just so like kind of such an assumption. But then like, of course, whenever like he explains, it's like, no, it's for composting. And she's like, oh yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow's composting gift party, like kind of thing. I was like, of course she's got a Gwyneth Paltrow kind of like hook up with like some sort of subscription service or something. It was just so, that whole interaction was just incredibly cringy, because she was offering herself up on a platter almost of just kind of like, you know, when I allowed you to kiss me, and he was just like, no, you kiss me. Just immediately just not taking that kind of assumption, just clarifying things. And then to be kind of just almost like revoked a little bit, and she's there just giving a full-on like kind of hand in the hair, kind of flirting and really kind of like pulling it on thick, only to find out that he's actually with Twyla. Oh, that's gonna hurt. That's a big like dent in her ego, I'm sure.
For sure, especially because I think, you know, at this point, the Roses certainly see themselves as like better than all of these townies, right? And so like, gosh, what a hit to the ego to see Mutt with Twyla, like the Cafe Tropical waitress. And she's just like, doesn't even know what to do with herself. I felt so bad. But speaking of names, I do want to ask you about some of the other like naming conventions. I wasn't sure if you had noticed the shit family, right? So we already know Roland shit, which, mm-hmm. you know, roll in shit is like the thing, right? It sounds like that. But then we learn that his grandfather's name is Horace Shit, which sounds remarkably like horse shit.
I didn't even consider that. I think that just went straight over my head. I'm kind of here for it. If they are going to continue that for like any potential other like kind of shit family members that are going to be turning up perhaps. I don't really know, like, if horror shit, what other ones could there be? I'm, like, trying to cycle through my Rolodex of, like, available puns that could turn up.
Bullshit is, like, a big thing. Bull is a weird name, though.
Yeah. I mean, we've got someone called Mutt.
It's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's possible. But, yeah, it's just, God, the shit family legacy is very funny to me, like that we have this guy named Horace and he's like, let me just name my kid, or I guess I don't know what Roland's father's name was, but my grandson's name is Roland, and this is our family legacy.
You would think that like the parents would do the whole write it down, try and think of all the possible ways in which kids can be teased. I know my mom has like said that she was proud of doing that with our names as kids, that she wanted to make sure there was no kind of like inadvertent puns. The unfortunate Mr. Hunt calling his son Michael, like, you can't really go about doing that way. It plays into the whole shit family thing, doesn't it? Is that you don't really expect them to be the kind of thoughtful people, or at least
certainly not, especially not when Roland looks at the town sign and he's like, oh, Johnny, you're disgusting. How could you think that that's what's going on?
Depraved.
It's so classic. So Johnny goes to the town council, and that's where we meet a few new characters. Now, we did actually meet Ray in a prior episode, but this obviously like expands on his character a little bit. He's like this real estate agent. He's also on the town council. What are your thoughts on Ray? Do you have any kind of first impressions of him?
Ray is, I kind of get Ray's position. Like, he is kind of in a similar one to Roden, where he's like, small town, this is just how things are. This is the out of town, they're coming in, trying to mess things up. Also, Ray's just like clearly incompetent at his fundamental job, which is selling property, and not understanding that a giant sign of old people like hugging each other on a welcome sign to a town isn't going to be perhaps a big selling feature, and is perhaps a source of people coming and taking photos because it's a joke. I get the sense that Ray is really not that clever.
Yeah, I love him saying, oh, I see now, his shoulders are a little too big. That's the problem with the sign. Yeah, Ray is fun, right? You'll see Ray, you'll see more of Ray. He's not as prevalent of a character, I would say, as Ronnie and Bob are, the other two town council members that we meet this episode, but you will be seeing Ray. Let's talk about Bob, because Bob, I feel like he has to be in contention for a lot of people's favorite side character.
Really?
He has a specific quirk, which I am not going to say, but I want to see if you'll pick up on it as you see more of Bob. Okay. Because it's something,
I should have picked up on already?
No. Nope. And I don't think you will until it's like, until you've seen him quite a few times. Like, I feel like it takes a few times of seeing him to notice it. But yeah, Bob, he owns a garage in town. Bob, any impressions of Bob that you have straight out the gate?
I mean, it was a fleeting kind of thing. I saw that he was like just playing solitaire when he's like clearly meant to be doing town work. So clearly isn't that busy. But yeah, no strong opinions either way of Bob thus far, which kind
You'll
of makes me intrigued that he is
soon.
A bit of a favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are very specific reasons, I would say, for that, but you'll definitely be seeing more of Bob very soon. And then of course, lastly, we have Ronnie, who I think of the three, she probably has like the strongest personality thus far. Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of immediately get that she's a little snarky, with a lot of like her replies to Johnny.
Yeah, it seemed to be the one that was just going to articulate kind of what the general thought of the room is, which kind of makes sense. I just love the fact that like all three of them in that kind of little town hall just had come to an accord. This is what we're going to do with our time and day and stuff. And then here's Johnny messing it up by whinging about a sign. It's like, get out of there, Johnny. They're trying to relax.
Yeah. It's like, oh, but it's such an important piece of history for Schitt's Creek. You want to adjust the sign? What are you talking about? It's so good. Meanwhile, Moira, we've got to talk about this meltdown that she has. Now, the obvious question is, like, have you ever Googled yourself?
Sadly, yes. Mostly to see what my digital footprint is, especially when I'm applying for jobs, because the worst thing you want is someone Googling your name and seeing that they're attached to a podcast talking about Schitt's Creek. What about you? Have you ever Googled yourself?
Oh, certainly. Certainly I've Googled myself. I would say, like, before I started podcasting, millions of Jess Sterlings. Like, you know, it's such a common first name combined with, like, a, I guess, not so common, but not weird last name. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I wasn't easily Googleable up until I started podcasting. And now I'm pretty Googleable, I would say. Specifically, if you wrote, like, Jess Sterling and then the word podcast after it, I feel like it's, like, I'm gonna come up. Doesn't really bother me anymore, considering like I don't have a normal office job where I'd be nervous about someone finding something. But Moira seems to, like, this is a common thing for Moira based on Johnny and the kids' reaction. This is something that happens like fairly routinely where she Googles herself, has a meltdown when she sees the results. And like she said the line of I think Alexis says, well, you gobbled down a bunch of antidepressants. And Moira just goes, well, I was hungry.
I love it that she's just like dipping into antidepressants just as a snack. It was like, not advisable. Like, PSA for anyone listening, don't do that. That's bad.
No.
But yeah, like Moira, of course she's going to like do that because she is extra. I loved how the meltdown like kind of just came about. Like at first you're like, okay, she's a little bit more unhinged. Oh no, this is something. This is something really going on. And she said, like, LA is irrelevant. I am relevant. Shag carpeting, that's irrelevant.
Yeah, he finds her in the closet, which is just incredible. Like, I feel like that was something I did when I was like six, was like have a meltdown in my closet. You know what I mean? Not as a fully grown adult. But I also really appreciate, so Alexis is kind of tasked with keeping an eye on her because Johnny's trying to sell the town, and it's Alexis's turn, your turn to get murdered, your turn to watch mom. And so she takes Moira to the cafe, and I love when she like holds Moira up by the forehead and she's like, stay here, don't move. And as soon as she leaves, Moira goes, I am so bored.
But we've all had, I think, that scenario where you've been with a drunk friend and then you're the sober one, you're trying to, like, they're paralytic beyond belief, and you're just there going, just stay here, I'm gonna go get a cab, I'm gonna go get water, I'm gonna do whatever I'm doing to be the responsible one at this moment, but you stay here. And they do anything but, because they realize staying in one place is boring, especially when you're like either having a meltdown or you're high or you're drunk or whatever. They're just like, everything else is more fun, and they go wandering. So yeah, I kind of feel for Alexis in having to look after Moira in that situation, but it seems like it's something that she's like dealt with a lot.
Yeah, it seems like she's had to do it before, which is why the kids are so nonchalant about it, right? Like, she says, she doesn't seem concerned at all. She says, we're going to go to the cafe because when you're eating, you can't talk. which I also just love. She's ordering for Moira because Moira orders like tater tots, fries with gravy, a pecan pie. She's ordering like all this crazy stuff.
It was the specific two apple fritters, sliver of pecan, fries with gravy and bacon, and then comes back for another pecan pie, onion rings and ice cream. Top tier order, I've got to say.
I mean, it does sound like a fabulous order for like if you're drunk or maybe even hungover. That might be too much if you're hungover though. But I feel like that's a very good drunk order.
Yeah. But imagine wanting to order that, or at least like kind of perhaps not everything in the full consciousness of your mind, but like deep down you want a lot of what is part of that order. Mm-hmm. And then getting scrambled egg whites with spinach.
First of all, egg whites, like really, like when you're like high as a kite, like Moira is, egg whites are not gonna do anything for you. I'm okay with adding in spinach to it, but like, I feel like if you're gonna add spinach, you kind of have to add other things too. Like throw some cheese on it, throw some other veggies in there, you know, but scrambled egg whites with spinach, really? Just come on.
That's the blandest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah. And Moira looks like she's devastated. And Moira looks devastated while she's eating it, which is when Jocelyn comes up to her. And you'd think Jocelyn would be able to recognize, like, hey, maybe Moira isn't in the best state right now. But she just goes right ahead and she's like, Moira, maybe you can come talk to my kids. They're doing like a drug awareness. Stuart, you don't have DARE over there, do you? Do you know what DARE is?
I know what it is. It's that whole kind of like, anti-drugs kind of like
I'm looking at what it even stands for. Drug abuse resistance education, that's what it stands for. Wow.
We have Talk to Frank over here, if I remember rightly, and it's like a whole thing of just talk to Frank, and it's a line that you can call to get like free Frank advice on drug taking. So
that
tell
is
you
so
the
funny
fact. So you can call them up and be like, if I take X amount of this, will I OD or something like that? But then also counseling and stuff. But also in school, like, we get the educational stuff of just, here's what happens if you do take all the drugs, and here's how your life will be terrible. And it's like, yes, great. Thank you for that information.
Yeah, I think we get a little bit of a peek into what Moira might have kind of been like when Alexis and David were younger, right? Like, she's in front of the class and she's just like, who has acting experience? Put up your swords. Just so ridiculous.
And the kids just give her nothing in response. And she's just like, good.
Yeah, she's having a complete meltdown. She's tearing apart the script that, of course, Jocelyn wrote. And I love that, again, more shadiness from Moira to Jocelyn about like, oh, you're married a simpleton and your life is like not what you thought it would be. And Jocelyn's like, that's not how I feel.
Total projection of kind of just what she expects. And I love her just for being honest and not giving a shit whether or not Jocelyn agrees or not. She's like, no, that is what you feel. Oh, Jocelyn,
totally brutal. She's so harsh on these little kids who are obviously don't even want to be doing this curriculum. They're being forced to. It'd be different if this was like the drama club or something. This just feels like curriculum they have to do. So yeah, very funny stuff from Moira. And then of course we also have David, who he wants to get a job in art curating or trend forecasting. And his interactions with Stevie, when Stevie's like, oh, okay, let me look. He's like looking in the paper, cracks me up. Again, Stevie with the dry humor. I really love, I think you hit the nail on the head when, you know, you assumed a little bit of like, okay, there's going to be more of Stevie and David. This was like a perfect little palate cleanser in the episode of a scene.
Yeah. I think it's like, it's just the perfect way in which these two are going to always come together, is that like David is being extra as anything. Stevie's there to ground them. And between the two of them, she's going to rib him. And I think it's going to take a while before David kind of like clocks onto it. And I think there's probably going to be a moment soon where David's like, you're mocking me. And she's like, yes, you're learning, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of expecting her to be like, yes, this is how it works.
Yeah, especially when David's she... indulge it. Yeah, especially when he asks like, oh, what is something that like the like that pay? And she's like, oh, minimum wage. And he's like, which is what, like $40 an hour or something? Just no sense of how much anything costs or how much anyone is being paid for anything. Like a bagger in a grocery store certainly is not being paid $40 an hour, David.
I can't believe it. But the expectation of just trend forecasting in Schitt's Creek of all places.
I'm like, is that even a job anywhere, though? Like, trend forecasting? What even is that?
I think, like, there is, like, financial trend forecasters, of course. Okay. Like, because you want to know, like, financials. But I don't think that's what David's referring to in the slightest. He's talking about, like, trends. Like, I want to know what's going to be viral or going to, like, be the next fashion trend or something.
Colostomy
like that.
Bag pants, Stuart. That's what's going to be the next trend.
All caps have that written down. It's like, what the heck is David wearing? They're like 3/4 length MC Hammer drop crotch kind of like pants. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, Johnny hit it on the nose by calling them colostomy bag pads, which is so horrible to call them that. But I mean, it's really accurate.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I will say, I feel like this is just the beginning of like David's fashion choices. He often will be wearing this kind of like capri pants skirt combo, I guess, is like the way I look at it, because it's still pants but there's like a skirt flap on the front, you know. It's like a different version of a skort, if you will.
There was a weird trend of pop stars wearing that in like the 90s in
Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, like, but yeah, David's somehow trying to keep this going this later on. Like,
I mean, he was a skater boy, Stuart.
Yeah, we'll say to him later, boy.
we all lived through the age of wearing jeans and then putting like a dress on over top of it. And like, also, I definitely, once upon a time, Stuart, I had a band like performance thing at school, and we had to dress up for them. And I was like, this is at the point in my life where I was like, I hate dresses. I will not be wearing them. Like, not for me. And I did a white button down shirt with a tie. And I was like, I'm as cool as Avril Lavigne. Like, this was like the height of my obsession with Avril Lavigne, where I had a Discman, really showing my age. And I had the Avril Lavigne CD, and I listened to the song Complicated on repeat for an hour long drive somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is quite something. I want to just slightly rewind back, because when you started saying that, I thought you were saying that when you had a band, and I was had a mental image of you doing your best Avril Lavigne impersonation, but as part of a band, and I can't get that visual out of my head now.
Never had a band. I did play guitar for like a hot minute, but certainly never had a band, unless you count like Guitar Hero. In which case,
I don't think that counts. I don't think you can get up on stage at like the VMAs or something with Guitar Hero.
You just start playing the drums and it's just like slamming noises.
Should we start a band? We'll actually do the rock band one where we all get different instruments. That'd
Absolutely.
Live the dream. Yeah. Jeez.
But poor David. So he goes to this job as a bag boy, and he's learning. Except I will say, Stuart, I feel like a big no-no, which his coworker or trainer gives him a glare for, is like, you're not supposed to comment on people's groceries. Like, you're really not. Like, that's not, it's not for you to judge like what they're doing. Cause there's this person who buys like two full things of cheese balls. Who needs this many cheese balls?
I mean, when you need a cheese ball, you need a cheese ball. Like, don't begrudge bulk buying, but like his face when he sees them is just so judgmental. And it's like all the feelings that I think I feel inside, but never want to really put out there because I don't wish to be as horrible in person. But David just no filter, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's just they're just like literally like sour faced at the thought of it. It's just like, jeez.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I just feel like he probably would have gotten fired anyway. Like, even if Johnny didn't call him three times and he had to like do the really awkward slide in by the register to answer the phone, he would have gotten fired anyway. Like, he was putting eggs in bags with other things, which you're not supposed to do. And I don't know. This is not a job for David.
No, I don't. I mean, is there any job for David? I think perhaps he's going to have to get one eventually.
Art curating.
Is he gonna be good at either of those? Like, is it something that's, oh, you're saying that? No, he was an art curator successfully before. But is that just Nepo baby kind of like allowances? Are people just like entertaining him because of like inherited wealth and that whole like system of things? Like, does David actually have the stuff to back anything up?
Yeah, so that actually brings me to a good question for you, because now we know Johnny and Moira, like what they did in their past. But I want to know, like, looking towards the future, do you see, like, potentially, what do you think a career for either David or Alexis would look like? Like, what do you think they would be doing with their time?
Oh, see, I kind of, it depends on, I think, if they are still in Schitt's Creek or not. I imagine they will be, because of the title of the show, and like kind of I can't imagine them escaping the town, because otherwise the whole premise kind of falls apart.
Right.
So it's got to be something within the town itself. So I don't know, maybe like setting up a shop maybe, or even something that's kind of like something that's good within the town already, that they are like, oh, we can bring our like big city attitude and like sell it better online maybe, or like kind of, and Alexis can maybe do a bit of social media. I don't know why. I'm thinking maybe the two of them team up on something.
Okay.
I think I can see them working together, because I think it's just an avenue for them two to bicker all day.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like. So maybe that.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't like it when you just go, okay, because I'm like, you know the answer and you're just not telling me.
Anything else specifically from the episode that we didn't already hit on that you want to talk about before we move on to feedback?
Crikey. There was a lot of, like, the whole Moira interaction with the class and just the things that she was saying to these kids and trying to get them into the moment. And then when she throws the script aside and, like, go into improv, we all know it's brilliant. We know that Moira is just the best, but yeah, I've just got to like shine a bit of a light on that once more, because it was just so funny. And it was kind of, we talked about it last week, the whole kind of Scott's Tots in the office, that awkwardness of just someone being kind of like in a real world situation and them being awkward. It was a bit, it was slightly that, but not quite as cringe. So it was hilarious.
Yeah, it really rides the line of like almost being cringy but not quite. Because like, I love when, I can't remember exactly what she says, but it's something like, old woman standing, or I don't know, something like that. And like the kid gets up and she just slumps into his chair. It's just so funny. And I love Jocelyn's reactions during all of those scenes too, because she kind of realizes that she stepped in it by like inviting Moira here. She didn't necessarily understand what she was getting herself into.
And I don't think she anticipated that Moira would kind of like read the kids for filth as well, like being like, you're gonna get a fat ass, future baldy, hairless, future homeless.
Yeah, so terrible, so horrible. Moira, you can't say that to children.
And she's having this all because of the cruel internet people that comment on her, which kind of makes me question, are we the cruel internet people, Jess? Are we
certainly
part of the problem here?
Yeah, sweet. Definitely.
Good to know. That's all I need.
Well, let's get into some feedback. So Todd had said, overall, I think this is a really fun episode, but Johnny calling David his job multiple times is dumb. What did you think about this, Stuart? Did you think Johnny should know better?
Such boomer mentality, isn't it? That you can just call people relentlessly at their job. Like, it's just, it's the kind of thing that I would expect my mum to do if I hadn't pre-warned my mum. Like, I if this was my first job ever, I think that she would want to call me a couple of times a day. But, like, you would expect Johnny to know better, right? It really is dumb. I think Todd's completely right.
Yeah. One would think, I mean, I think it's worse because, or I think it's made worse because David just hangs up on him. And so Johnny calls right back. Like, I feel like at least just be like, Dad, I can't talk right now. I'm working, you know, like, stop calling me at my job that I just started today. So, yeah, Johnny certainly doesn't help the situation. But I still feel like that David was not long for that job, no matter what.
Yeah, I think like, it certainly doesn't help with the fact that, like, there's this trope in TV where people just hang up the phone without saying goodbye.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, your point is supposedly meant to get across, but again, not to like a boomer like Johnny that's just gonna be like, oh, the phone disconnected, I will retry again. But yeah, Johnny should have got the hint at least after the second time.
Yeah. Ashley wants to know, does Johnny own anything other than suits and nightshirts? It feels like this is the Monopoly man's wardrobe.
I think that Johnny was born in a suit.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it looks strange than anything else. Like, in the nightgown, he looked odd, but it kind of worked because he did have a Bob Cratchit vibe going on. But the, yeah. I think him not to be in a suit is going to look even stranger, I think.
Yeah, Johnny's wardrobe feels the most samey compared to the rest of the Roses, right? Like, Moira and David all have very distinct fashion choices. Even Alexis, I would say, too. Like, she always just looks like she's done up to go do something, right? She goes over to Mutt's house in, like, this big floppy hat and high heels.
Can we talk about the hat? So, for those who know me, we play in this big old D&D game. My character is a goblin called Milton, and he wears a giant pirate hat with a feather. And the moment I saw this, I was like, Alexis is one of mine. Like, she's in the crew. She gets it. She appreciates big hats and big feathers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like this big brown hat with a massive feather on it. It does look quite ridiculous. Again, knowing that, like, she's in Schitt's Creek, you know? Like, no one dresses like this in Schitt's Creek.
Trying to impress Matt, though.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. All right, I think it's time to switch things over and talk about Wig Watch, because we did get a wig this episode, which I'm going to share on my screen here for the YouTube people. We have Moira's wig. This is her meltdown wig.
It's like so big, but without being like kind of drag big or anything like that. It's just kind of just too, the fringe is a little bit too much.
It's eating her face. This wig is eating her face. It's like it almost looks like a haircut that your like 70-year-old aunt would have, you know? It's kind of like a bob with bangs. A silvery gray hair, but it certainly looks like it's eating her face. I like to think that when she's having a meltdown, she's like, no, I need to be dressed for this occasion. Let me wear all black, put on this gray wig and go hide in the closet.
Yeah. She also wears that giant jewel as well. Later on, it's like literally like before it was like a full chandelier of like different baubles and items and things. This time it's just one singular giant gemstone that's just dangling down. It's like, Moira's got some choices.
Yeah, Moira is an icon. I mean, it's just, look at this. Like, she even has the mascara-streaked tears. That's what that's what you need when you're looking for the drama of going it through a meltdown. You need the mascara tears.
Yeah, completely.
All right, let's do our some ratings here. Stuart, for this episode, who was simply the best?
Okay. So this is where I think I'm going to get into trouble because I don't really have a system. Are we meant to have a system?
The system is whatever you make it.
Good, because I don't really want to get any like flack for just picking Moira constantly, because Moira was just hilarious in this episode, and I can't with any good conscience pick anyone else, because every time that she was on screen I was howling with laughter.
Yeah, I really did try my best. I was looking through all of the different characters and I'm like, okay, who made me laugh the most? Who had some of the best content? I almost gave it to Alexis because of the Gwyneth Paltrow line. Like, it just tickled me that she's like, Gwyneth Paltrow has a compost exchange. Like, what is that? What is a compost exchange? But ultimately, I landed on Moira because, like, the raise your swords. Like, yeah. She's... And especially how relatable it is to be not in your right mind and just be like, I'm so bored. It was everything. She brought the drama. So she was also simply the best for me. So she's getting 2 points this week.
Incredible.
What about our disgruntled pelican, Stuart?
Okay. I might get some flack for this. And fully expect it. I'm not going with Roland.
Okay. All right. First time not going with Roland.
I was considering it and I was like, Roland wasn't great in this episode. I don't think he ever will be unless there's a massive like bit of character development here going on. But I'm going to give it to Johnny.
Johnny. Okay.
Because, yeah, the sign's bad, but it's a point of tourism. He's also going and complaining and kind of acting as if he owns the town. I know he does, don't write in, but he is not really appreciating the history of things, and there is a history to this town that he needs to appreciate. And also, do not call your son on their first day of work 3 times over and over again.
It's very fair. And I also think Johnny doesn't do a great job when he's trying to practice like an interview with David, where he's like, you're not going to get this job. You're not going to get this job. It's like, maybe don't shout that at your son who's about to go in for a job interview.
Yeah, completely. Like, yeah. way to ruin his confidence.
Yeah, especially because I think there is one line, though, that Johnny says that always cracks me up. And it's he's like, it looks like he's effing her from behind. Like, the way he says it, too. Like, he's just so astonished that they're not so noticing that. Johnny is a good pick. I contemplated giving my disgruntled pelican point to Johnny. Ultimately, though, I did go with Roland because I was like, the fact that he doesn't notice that it looks like his grandfather is stooping his grandmother is like astonishing in the worst way. Like, how did you not come on? And he's like, it's my family legacy. It's like, all right, now come on.
No, it's completely innocent, Jess.
Yeah,
it's his sister.
He's holding on to her so that she doesn't fall in the water. Exactly. Ridiculous. So ridiculous. Well, I'm glad we're changing things up at least. So we did get an LVP, a disgruntled pelican point for Johnny. So it gives me hope that it's not, and as I will say, as someone who just recently binged like the entire series again, it's not always going to be Roland. There are plenty of episodes where people do things. I can think of one character in particular who I really did not like some of their decision making at certain points that will be getting some LVPs. So should be interesting, especially because again, Roland isn't in every episode, so can't have him always be getting the points, you know.
It'd be remarkable if he got LVP whilst not being in the episode.
I know that happens just that much.
I know he's off screen, he's there somewhere,
he's just there being the worst. Yes. All right, well, let's get into our tier ranking here for the episode. So as you remember from last time, the drip is in Love That Journey For Me. Our cup runneth over is in the Ew David tier. Where do we feel like Don't Worry It's His Sister should fall, Stuart?
Certainly better than the pilot. I think perhaps maybe on a par with the drip. I want to say it is slightly better, but a whole ranking? I'm not entirely sure. What about you? What do you think?
I feel very similarly. For me, I think Don't Worry It's His Sister would still be on the Love That Journey For Me tier. It's just whether or not is above or below the drip. Because I think the thing for Don't Worry It's His Sister, obviously the title of the episode is named after like the funniest part of the episode, right? Like that to me is so hysterical. is it funnier than anything that happens in The Drip, right? Like, Johnny is getting poured on, my best Bob Cratchit. That's all very funny. I don't know where I fall if The Drip is a little bit funnier. I feel like it's a game of inches, though, with the two of them.
Yeah. I mean, are we doing this in terms of, like, if it's better, it's, like, going closer to less kind of thing?
Yes.
In terms of the visual?
Yeah, I think for the visual, yes. I think it'll be either above or below it. Like, all leftmost is the highest. And I think when I think about The Drip, right, I think Moira and Johnny going to dinner at the shit's house and smacking Roland edges out Don't Worry, It's His Sister for me. Like, I think The Drip is a little bit better for that.
Yeah, I'd be in agreement with that. I think there's some great gags in this, but also there was a lot of, like, story setup, like, things that, you know, they're going to come further down. Like, you know, the whole Alexis, Mutt and Twyla thing is going to come around, like, later on. You know that eventually David's going to have to get probably a proper job. You know, the sign may not necessarily be a thing, but Johnny's certainly going to have interactions with the town hall and kind of the council. So, yeah, I'd probably put it below The Drip.
Yeah, I think this is a good spot for it. It's still, like, to me, love that journey for me. You know, we're kind of in the center of our tier. So we still have, again, so much room to go up or down. And I know I've told this to you, and I know a lot of people say this. I do think it is a show that gets, better as it goes on. I think I'm not saying, like, every season is better than the last, but, like, there's always, I can think of so many of my favorite episodes and favorite moments that are way later in the series. So I think we're leaving ourselves tons of room for growth here, which is great. So yeah, we're going to have, so currently as it stands, we have nothing in Hot Shit, nothing in Full Bouquet. In Love That Journey for me, we have The Drip above Don't Worry, It's His Sister. And then in the EO David tier, we have Our Cup Runneth Over. Nothing in Shit Out of Luck yet. We'll see. Will anything ever be in Shit Out of Luck? We'll see. Who knows? Maybe we'll be so upset by a decision that someone makes that it ends up there. We'll see.
Maybe. Can't wait for it to be the later seasons and you have to recap all of those.
Listen, we're going to do a new tier for every season. I don't think we're going to keep every season in one tier ranking because there's no way my brain is going to remember all of this. Like, there's just no way.
Right. Imagine having to go through the granularities. Is that better than season 4, episode 3? I don't know.
I can't remember. That was months ago.
Well, for you, it's probably yesterday, considering your rewatches.
Very fair. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And I also just realized there is a single GIF. There is a GIF in Schitt's Creek that gets used so much that you will not know what it means until the penultimate episode. Like, you won't see it on the show until the penultimate episode, which is crazy.
Now I'm just trying to rack my brains as to which what GIF it is. It
there's yeah. a lot of GIFs.
There's
yeah.
so many. That's the problem. There's so many.
Yeah. Stuart, do you want to know what the title of the next episode is?
Oh, after the last one, do I? Yeah, go on, let me know.
It is titled Bad Parents.
Oh, that could apply to a lot of them, but I think I might know who.
Yeah, we'll see. Season 1, episode 4, Bad Parents. That'll be next week. Then let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. So don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Watch us on YouTube. Again, we have a little bit of visual component to the podcast sometimes. And beyond that, in case people haven't checked it out, Stuart, you did join Sarah and myself on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, talking about Best in Show. You talked about an episode of Buffy. So if people like this dynamic, go check out those bonus podcasts. Of course, if you also like Felicity, listen to that while you're over at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. Anything else you can think of, Stuart, that you wanted to add on at the end?
Nothing particular about my own plugs, but just sister podcasts, I guess, have been cropping up from my friends. So we've got Screen and Page podcasts and then also Whirlwind podcasts. Go give them a Google and give them some love, because in the kind of era of post-show recaps, there's a lot of different endeavors poking up. So yeah, go show them all some love.
Yeah, a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon. So with that, we will talk to you all next time for season 1, episode 4. And until then, have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Bye.